have your Bibles open with me to Psalm, and the 43rd Psalm. Needless to say, it's my privilege, pleasure, joy, and time would not permit to tell. I've been blessed this week. You know, I was telling my pastor brother, This is the first mission conference that I've held as far as the main speaker as a mission representative. I've held some other mission conferences, as I'm sure many of our missionary brethren have. And, you know, God really confirmed some things in my soul. Some of these brethren that have, especially those veteran missionaries that have been on the field, and know, you know, that boy, God put something in your heart for those people. And 2 years ago, God began to deal with me about possibly coming home. Well, I guess one of the hardest things, hardest decisions I ever made was leaving Alaska. I've been in little 17-foot fishing boats going from village to village and preached to those Indians. Southeast Alaska, there's only four fundamental missionaries in an area as big as Delaware, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. Go in a couple other states for good measure. There's only four. I was the only missionary living in the villages, and the Indians have a saying. They say, "You missionaries love our souls, but you don't like our bodies." They won't go out and live with them. You got a $100,000 airplane, and I'm not against that. I've got an airplane license. And we'd go, and I pray, "God, would you call some men up here?" And many of the night, one of my brethren, old lumberjack that God saved, he'd drive that boat. I'd play my harmonica preacher. And I'd stand there and look at them lights. I said, "Lord, you know, I can't stay in all them places." And then God began to deal with me about coming home, and just put a burden in my heart to help my missionary brethren. And, you know, I always have policy, I always have, and now that I'm a mission representative, I intend to maintain it. I'm not going to take a conference. And unless they're going to help those missionaries, I'm not talking about necessarily taking them on. Now, that's between the church and the Lord. But, you know, I know a lot of churches, they give the main speaker, and usually he doesn't get very much, but they don't give missionaries anything. And I ain't going to walk off with a pocket full of money and let my missionary brethren go without nothing. I'm not going to do that. It ain't right. And God dealt with my heart, and you know, it's first time, and I'll be honest with you, God really spoke to my heart about it, confirmed some things, and my brethren, I love you. And I can get up and talk to them about the money now, amen. There's a bunch of them dropping me anyway, so I can get up and holler about it, and beg and plead for my missionary brethren. And God, those folks, and I, like I said, I'll squeeze that wallet, Brother Tishy screams, for some of these missionaries. A lot of my churches are dropping me, and so I can go ahead now because I'm asking for somebody else, amen. Amen. So I can just enjoy myself. A lot of times, these missionaries can't say all what I can say. See, I can say it. And brethren, you pray for me because the next few years I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it because I know where they sit. I've sat in those villages, and I know their heartbeat. And I don't know how God can use me. But God impressed my heart. He said, "I want to use you to encourage some fellows maybe to go. I want to use you to encourage some pastors. I want to use you to get out there and help those missionaries." He said, "You always wanted to." God knows my heart. Well, before I ever God ever called me to be a missionary, and I'd have a mission conference, we'd have one, and man, I wanted one of them fellows in my house. Well, I'd get him there and say, "Man, talk, tell me. Tell me about it." And I'm glad, and I thank God for this time. And now, last night, I must say this. God spoke to my heart about something last night. Pastor and I, boy, we fellowshipped, and we had a good time. And I don't know what time it was when he went off to bed, and I, I couldn't go to sleep when I got up, and I was thinking maybe about the message for today, and something really, I didn't feel something wasn't right last night. I don't know what it was, and I wasn't feeling all really up to snuff, you know, myself, but I thought maybe that was it or something. But, you know, God impressed my heart last night. I want to apologize publicly. Now, I don't know who this is. I know this. God told me this, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. But I feel that I offended someone last night. I don't know who. But God said I made a mistake. Now, I called a black man a nigger preacher last night. Now, I didn't mean nothing by that, like maybe some folk might have thought I did. Now, let me say this. There are black preachers, there are Negro preachers, and there's nigger preachers. The highest compliment I can give a black preacher is a nigger preacher. If I was a black man, God called me to preach, I want to be a nigger preacher. Now, you don't know in my heart what that means. I've been in black churches, and boy, I've been in their homes, and I love them. But God just impressed me that I offended somebody by that. I didn't mean what maybe you thought I meant when I said that. I got some dear, precious Negro friends that are preachers, and you say you call them nigger preachers? Yeah, I do. The ones my friends, you know, they know what I mean. It's a compliment, I know. But sometimes, and I feel, and I apologize for that, whoever it was, I don't know who you are, maybe preacher, they're not here, but you know, a lot of times, sometimes I hold a revival meeting, you know, and folks say, boy, that's great, and folks get saved, and boy, Brother Jim really did something, but you know, the pastor's the one you leave all them can of worms for when you leave. His phone is the one to be ringing. We're going to pack our bags, brother. We're going to go. That man's the one who got to sit here and change the diapers and do the midnight feedings. And, you know, we're down the road shouting the victory, you know, and he's the one sitting here day by day. I wanted to say that. God knows my heart, and we have a black brother back here. And I said, I meant that as a compliment. Now, those of you who misunderstood me, let me apologize, because God just told me that last night. And I apologize. I do. And by God's grace, I'll not make that mistake again. I'll have to find another term for a compliment. And I don't know if you still understand my heart, but didn't mean anything whatsoever. And you know, I pray, and I know I'm crude, and I don't make no boast of that. I know I'm uneducated. I don't brag about that. And brethren, I'll tell you, there's been many a time that I pray, not would to God, that I had more education. And I would to God that I had a better vocabulary. And I would to God I had more polish. And I see some of my brethren, you know, you got to use what you got. And if you've got the education, man, you use it. If you don't, God ought to kick you right in the seat of the pants. If you've got the brains and you've got the vocabulary, you ought to use them for God. And God, shame on you if you don't. I said all that to say this. Let's stand to our feet, read together. Psalm chapter 43. Verse number 1 says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. Father, thank you for this precious passage of Scripture. I thank you for these precious folk that are here this morning, and our missionary brethren, and Lord, for the success of this meeting. And we still got one more service to go after this. And Lord, we stand amazed and awed in your presence. And Father, we thank you for what you've done, and all us of little faith. And Father, increase in our faith. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done. And we pray that you'll continue to bless. And now, Lord, bless in this message, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I call your attention, of course, to verse number 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me
and let them bring me into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. And of course we all know the song, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Amen. And that's an old missionary song, and I want to take this passage of Scripture and talk to you about the light. Now, all this week, we've had the emphasis on taking the gospel and the light and the Word, and we've talked about the individual, and that's important. I appreciate the emphasis that we've had, and I want to talk to you now about why we're doing this. I mean, we've got a burden, and God has spoke to you folks. There's no doubt about that. I mean, my soul, every missionary God has picked up through you folks here, and that's a miracle, and the offerings have been good to take care of all the expenses and so forth, and we've given these brethren a charge, and by giving them our support, and we want to pray for them, and we're saying, brother, we want you to take now and carry that light out there in the darkness. Now, why? Again, I say, why do we do that? First of all, just three things, very quickly. I'm not going to be long about this. Just first thing, number one, first of all, because men are sitting in darkness. Now, beloved, the heathen are sitting in darkness. Now, I want to go a little slower this morning. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn. Now, usually, I try to memorize every verse of Scripture that I'll use, or every passage, during the course of whatever the message is that morning. Now, this morning, I want you to turn to these and look at these and mark these in your Bible. And maybe when you get home now, because like I said, we don't want to dilly-dally. I mean, I want to use the time wisely. But when you get home, I want you to look at these and ask God to speak to you about some of these. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah and chapter number 59. In Isaiah chapter 59, and we find down there, down about verse number 7, notice what it says in Isaiah 59 and verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put it forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Beloved, the brightest light at home is the light that shines the furthest, and is the brightest, is the light that shines the brightest right at home. And you know, it's better, somebody said, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And our missionary brethren are going to carry this message out. And we're going to go out here and spread the light. But you know, there's people that are sitting in darkness even right now at this hour. I mean, the heathen are sitting in darkness. Now, you've got all kind of heathen. All kind of heathen. You've got educated heathen.
Amen.
You've got religious heathen. You've got affluent heathen. You've got white heathen, black heathen, red heathen. And all kind of heathen. And some of you look at me funny. I was in chapter 58. I said chapter 59. If you go back to 58, you'll see that the verses I was saying. Of course, 59 verses 7 through 10 ain't bad neither, brother. And that's pretty good, too. Matter of fact, maybe I'll get over to them in a minute, too. I hadn't planned on it, but as I was thinking of that, I think 7 through 10 is pretty good in chapter 59 also. But here we are, and we're taking the light. And these heathen, and I mean, we've got affluent heathen in America. We've got religious heathen. We've got educated heathen. We've got ignorant heathen, but they sit in darkness, and they need the light. And the only light that's going to help them is the gospel light. And we need to take that light, and as we've already said, and as our brethren have over and over and over, we've emphasized the fact that, beloved, we're a team, amen. I mean, come and let us go. Now, we can't all go physically, and I can't go, and God knows my heart, man. My heart gets to beating so much, I've about almost got a hole in three or four of my t-shirts. My heart gets to beating so much, I want to go with some of these brethren. Man, that brother last, all that thing about Mexico, my soul, my feet was saying, man, go down and get a ticket and get on that plane and go down into Mexico City, and I want to go with these brethren, and I can't go. Physically, I can't go. But oh, I can pray, and I can give, and I can encourage, and I can try and help those brethren to get out there and take that line wherever they're going, take the line. Why? Because men sit in darkness. They sit in darkness. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Beloved, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And our brethren are carrying light. Why? Because men and women, boys and girls, sit in darkness. Their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. And the only cure for that blindness is the word of truth from this book to speak sweet peace to their souls. And beloved, you know, you take a Bible, and we could take this thing, and I believe it. I believe it with all my heart and all my soul. Every fiber of this 250 pounds that sits on this frame believes in that book. I've staked everything I've got, everything I hope to have, everything in the future, my family, my soul, my everything hangs on the promises of this book. But you know, we can lay that book right there. It ain't going to do us no good. It won't perform no magic tricks. It won't do anything. I mean, it'll gather some dust, and that's about all it's going to do. But we'll get this book and get it out there and get it into the hands of some folks, and they can read. I mean, that book's alive, and it'll do something. And you and I, that are born again and we know the Lord, and as our brethren pointed out, there are people that walk for days just to come and stand for hours just to hear somebody preach the gospel to them and get one of them little Bibles in their hands, and my, like they've got a handful, a fistful of diamonds. And you and I, some of us have got 3 and 4 and 5 Bibles that sit at home on the shelf. And sometimes I wonder, the homes of, in America, I'm talking about professing Christians now, I wonder how dark it is in those homes. I mean, the boob tube running for 18 hours a day, and got all kind of trashy magazines in there, and wonder why don't some of our folk have a vision? The reason is their vision's obscured, and they've got the light there, but they won't turn it on. And beloved, our missionary brethren are going because men are sitting in darkness. The heathen are in darkness, and they're dying. Oh, they've got a God, like Isaiah said about some folks in Isaiah chapter 45. I think down about verse 20, he said, they have a God which cannot save. They serve a God which cannot save them. The heathen, I've never been anywhere where they didn't have religion. I've never heard a missionary, I don't care where he went, that didn't find people that didn't have religion. And I'm telling you what, heathen religion, we think of that, you know, as a stone statue or something, or taking your baby up and offering up to some alligator. Sort of that's heathen religion. But you know, let me not tell you what, Baptist religion is just as much a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty as Roman Catholicism religion, as heathen religion, as any other religion, because Baptist religion will put you right in hell. It'll put you in hell, man. So, preacher, I thought you was Baptist. I am, and I ain't ashamed of it neither. And I tell you what, I'm a Baptist by conviction. But I one fellow's telling me, listen, I have never refused a fellowship with a man because he wasn't a Baptist. Matter of fact, I've refused a fellowship with some of them because there was a Baptist, amen. There's some of that crowd I can't even run with. But folk, men and women, boys and girls are sitting in darkness. And wherever across this globe where religion, I'll tell you what, you know what? A society is just as corrupt. Now, this side of the book of Jim here, I didn't read this. Maybe I'm wrong, preacher. This is another can of worms. Brother, you straighten this out. I believe this, though, with all my heart. Any society, anywhere in the world, any kind of people, is proportionately corrupt and vile and wicked in direct proportion to how much stinking, rotten religion they got in that place. I believe that. I don't know that to be a fact. But that's the book of Jim. I believe it anyway. But I'll tell you what, these brethren are going to break those chains, to break them asunder, and to bring the light, and that these folks might be set free from that religion, that they might know the true and the living God. Amen. And be saved and born again. And not only that, because men are doomed and dying. They're doomed and they're dying. Now, my friend, and I was talking to a preacher one time, and this man told me we got to talk. Let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer this, but are the heathen really lost now? Hey, stop thinking about that. You've done personal work. You've not done personal work. Some fellow, you know, I'm here, he sits in America, and he got that preaching on the television, preaching on the radio, and bumper stickers, and 15 Bibles in his house, you know, and he said, well, what about that man never heard of where in the jungles, you know? I used to say, well, what about the dumbbell standing right here that's heard it every day of his life? But are they heathen now? Are they really lost? Are they lost and undone and doomed without God? A Baptist preacher one time told me, said, preacher, he said, I don't know if I believe that or not. I said, well, brother, I'll tell you what. If I didn't believe that with every fiber of my soul, I said, I'd take down all the missionary letters. I'd take all that money. I said, instead of putting it into missionaries, you know what I'd do with it? I said, I'd go into the fencing business. Yeah. I would. Now, I'm being honest about this. I'd go in, instead of buying Bibles, instead of printing tracts, instead of supporting missionaries, I'd go into the fencing business, get me a construction company, and I'd get me some construction workers and send them out to get some support, and we'd take our chain link fence, and brother, we'd chain up Africa, we'd chain up the Sudan, and we'd chain up the Muslim countries and not let any missionaries get in. Because I know this, brother, if they hear the word of God rejected, they're in a mess. They're in a mess. Now, we know they're in a mess anyway. But if I didn't believe that the heathen was really lost, I wouldn't spend not another hour. Why in the world go over and tell them for? There'd been a bigger mess, man, when you tell them. And they're going to hell, that's for sure. But, I mean, if I really believe that, then why go tell them? I've been going to fencing business and fence it off and put one of them junkyard dogs out there and keep every missionary out there that ever tried to get there. That's what I do. And after I was a Baptist preacher, didn't have no sense or nothing. But you know what a fellow said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, over there in verse number 20? He said, for there is not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For there's none righteous, more not one. There's none good, but we're all gone astray. All of them. All of them. All the Bible tells us there's coming a time, listen, there's coming a time, my friend, the Bible said in Philippians in chapter 2, real quickly, if you turn over there, Philippians, I'm running out of time, I'm going to have to change my format a little bit here, but in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, but, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in like fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, seeing that, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's that black knee, that red knee, that brown knee, that's that heathen knee, that's that American's knee, that's that Englishman, the Irishman, that at every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. See a bumper sticker the other day said Jesus is number one. No, he ain't. He's Lord. And the Lord is so far above number one, you can't see. He's Lord. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It said every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. But all over in the book of Romans, it said, I mean, you ought to do that. Sinner friend, if you're here today, you ought to bow your knee. You ought to confess with your tongue, Jesus Christ is Lord. It said you should. But there's some scriptures over in Isaiah and Romans said you will. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And my friend, but when that day comes, it's too late. Oh, my soul, when I seen that old man there in that jail, hit by that train, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours too late. I recall that in Alaska, we put our dead folk in jail like that. That's the only thing holding was dead people. I mean, that rinky-dink falling down jail we had in. And I thought many times, you know, in our village, we had an average of one death a month. And only two, in 2 years, only two natural deaths. Liquor reigned supreme. I mean, we had everything that went along with it. We had incest, we had rape, we had everything imaginable that went along with it. One death a month. They get drunk and they fall off the pier. They get drunk and fight and shoot each other and stab each other and stick a gun in the mouth and pull the trigger and take overdoses and so forth. But my friend, when those folk die and go out into eternity, it's too late. It's too late. And they're doomed. They're doomed. And they're dying. We all know we got to die. We know that. You know, we prepare our children all their lives to live, and that's good. I prepare mine. I want my children to know how to live, but listen, you've missed everything if I don't teach them how to die, amen, because we'll live 70 years, maybe 80 years, 100 years, but my friend, eternity goes on and on and on and on, and we need to teach our children how to be ready when it comes time, how to need to be ready to die, amen. There's a man in Alaska, and this man was an electrician. I was up there, and you know, I'll tell you what, preacher, when I first got up to Alaska, they didn't have television in those little villages. We couldn't even get good radio reception where we were, and no television, and that's all right with me. I was telling the preacher, six of my best outlines shot down the hole, you know, there wasn't no television to preach against, and I was up there, you know, but you know, the United States government spent over $3 billion to stick some little something up in the air up there so they could pipe that filth down in the villages. I was going back to that village to hold a meeting of a couple of years after I left, and there's some of the guys, and I called up the preacher, the missionary that was there that took over for me, and I said, he said, boy, you ready, brother? I said, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. He said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said that some of the fellows said, they got a hitman waiting for you. They're going to get you when you come back. I said, they've just been watching too much of that Perry Mason on television. They never used to talk like that. They didn't know what a hitman was. They thought it was when you could get out and get hit by a car or something or a snow machine. They didn't know what that was. But now they got television. All of a sudden they got hitmen and everything now, you know. Just kind of rephrase their phraseology. I mean, they've spent $3 billion to pump filth and Dallas and JR and PJ and Juju and whatever else they got on them things. And I mean, to pump that filth down into a little village ain't got no more people than 125 of them. And they'll spend $3 billion. So that somebody can sell them some Pepsi Cola. And yet, the gospel, sometimes we got to beg and plead and borrow. But I was up there, and this man told me, he said, preacher, we're standing on a boat dock waiting for a plane to leave. And he said, we're standing there, and me and the missionary, and I want to talk to this guy. And he said, now wait a minute. He said, I want to tell you guys something. He said, I don't like preachers. You know, big fella, you know. He said, I don't like preachers. And I said, well, just exactly what kind of preachers don't you like? I want to find out, you know, see what kind I was that day. He said, I don't like Methodist preachers. I said, praise God for that. Amen. At least I made that one time. I said, I got some good news. I ain't a Methodist preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, well, I ain't got much use for them neither. And I just got to talk to him. I said, well, He said, I don't believe that. He said, look, he said, you got your idea, and the Methodist got their idea, and the Catholics got his idea. And I said, that page got a thousand different interpretations to it. I don't know how many times you've heard that, you know. And I said, yeah, that's right. 999 of them are wrong. That's the only thing wrong. He said, yeah, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. I said, wait a minute. I said, now, let's be right sensible about this. I said, it's got a thousand interpretations. I said, all right, I want to give you something here. And I opened up there, you know, I read, he that hath the Son hath life. He gave me three interpretations for that. Him hauled around. He said, well, where are you, preacher? He said, all right, it'd be real easy. I'll give me one. He said, now, preacher, that's not fair. He said, I ain't been to school like you. And I didn't want to bust his bubble. I didn't tell him any different, you know. He said, you guys go to school and you learn all them interpretations. He said, I just don't know what the interpretation is. I said, all right, now, we're going to get right real simple here, okay? I said, now, tell me what that said. He said, well, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, and so forth. I said, now, Bible lesson number two, tell me what that means. He said, well, I said, it means what it says, don't it? He said, I'm afraid it does. I said, what's it mean? He says, well, it means if you've got the Son, I reckon you got life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. I said, all right, now, let me ask you another question. Do you have the Son? Well, he said, I don't think I have it like you're talking about. No, I said, that's not what they said. Now, do you have the Son or don't you have him? Well, he said, no, I don't have him. I said, all right, what you got? He said, no, I got a mess. I said, ain't that simple? I said, see, friend, I said, look it, you're fixing to die someday. And I said, the devil's crowd have tried to get things hard and try to make the obscure the issue. And I said, bro, you better start taking heed to what that book says and forget about the interpretation and what it means, because it says exactly what it means. Amen.
Amen.
I said, why, you can start trying to make interpretations and make them mean anything you want to, but you can't make say nothing but what it says. And I said, that thing says that you if you don't have a Son, you don't have life. And I said, hey, you want to know how to get the Son? Might not have him hooked. Amen. He said, yeah. I said, all right. Then we went over some other scriptures and just let him read them. And I said, now, what's that saying? What's that mean? And man, he gave me the whole plan of salvation. You know, he's a Bible scholar and didn't even know it. I mean, he had that thing down just as good as any 10-year PhD could have had it down, and he told me every word of it, exactly what it meant. But why? Because men are doomed and they're damned and they're dying, and without Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. The heathen are really going to hell. They're going to perish in the flames, and we must needs take that gospel light to them. Amen. And we want to spend our time and our efforts. You know, I'll tell you, I'm glad, you know, like I said, God stirred my soul up. Man, I'll tell you, I'm going to enjoy. I've seen him raise, brother, I saw him raise $32,000 for some stinking glass to put in a building. Now, this is, I'm talking 10 years ago. No, more than that's 15 years ago. And they had this church and $32,000 for the window panes in that outfit. See, how many missionaries they have? None. They didn't have any either after I left. You know, and I told them, and of course, this is back before I had any sense at all. I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I said, I'd take them old glasses and get me a putty knife, and I'd pry them things out of there, and brother, I'd put some missionaries on the field. They put me out the door. That's as far as I got out the field, because I wouldn't do that. Well, I'd do it now, see, because I could help you, brethren. See, but back then I was sitting out there, and you're not supposed to get quite that radical, you know. But I'll tell you something, brother. I mean, this is a heartthrob of God and the Lord during this year. And you know, it ought to get tough. We know that. But I'll tell you what, man. There's some good times too. Amen. You're gonna be sitting down there, and you're thinking about that brother, old brother Moss back over there, and thinking about them poor Filipinos. Amen. I mean, there he is going around there. Well, I can't.
does that stuff, man. I got to get that thing down pat. I work that into my repertoire, kind of like that. I mean, you think about them folks, and think about them poor old Italians over there, bro. I'd rather be giving them what for, amen. And all these brethren, where they going, everything, boy. You'll be part of it, and you read those letters, and I mean, it'll mean something to you. And you read about what God's doing with them. You say, there we are. We got the light out there. That's us out there. We're doing the job, and God's going to come back one day, and you're going to have one of those Italians hug you around the neck and say, oh, so I never got to meet you down yonder. But I mean, he's going to know all about it, amen. He's going to know all about it. And you're going to see some of them old clinket Indians, amen. I mean, they're going to hug you around the neck and say, boy, I appreciate you, some old fat preacher up there. I appreciate it. And I said, I didn't always appreciate him when we first got there, but oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having that love enough in your heart and for me that you never saw me before. And yet you'd send somebody up. And then I close with this. Why do we send the light? Oh, he said, send the light. Send thy light to thy truth. He said, then what are we going to do? Man, we're going to make our way to thy holy hill. You know why some churches in America today are dead? And they're going bankrupt. I mean, there's some of them, but they're dead and dry. Oh, I mean, some. I mean, dry as last year's cracker juice, man. I mean, to tell you, dry. I like that thing. I know, you know, like I say, it's not fun being saved all the time, but I've had more fun on accident, brother, serving God, than I've had for the devil. And I ain't got to pay for it the next day now. I mean, I got up this morning, I felt twice as good over what happened last night, and I feel good, you know, the next day. I ain't got no hangover and all that business. But you know, it's not always fun being saved, but oh, it's always a joy, amen. It's always a joy. He said, we'll make our way to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. And there's men in these churches today, they're dead, brother. They're dead. I mean, they're cold and lifeless. And I'll be honest with you, I like something, brother, alive. You know, it's kind of like the difference between eating pound cake and banana pudding. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no difference to be made, man. Take the pound cake and you'll go without. Take the banana pudding. Now, I know sometimes banana pudding got a lot of that frothy stuff on it. You know, that's a wild fire. You can always slop that off, man, and boom, get down that man. You don't know where them vanilla wafers are, you know. That's what I like, man. I'll tell you what, boy, you just give me a spoon and stay out of where my tongue, man. It would be slapping my brains out trying to get at it. I'll tell you, I like it. I mean, it's good. And brother, it's God. I mean, God the Holy Ghost and God the Father and God the Son. Brother, I mean, something like that get inside of you and get a hold of you. And brother, if it don't stir you once in a while, man, your star's broke on you. Amen. I mean, brother, if God ain't rung your bell this week, brother, your bell clap broke. Amen. He ain't set you on fire, it's because you got wet wood, amen. I mean to tell you, brother, it's real. It's real. And brother, it gets a burning in your soul. And oh, praise God, just sometimes feel good. But I want to close with this. Brother, we because we owe a great debt, we have a debt that we owe. Turn, we're going to close in Romans. Romans in chapter number 1. Again, if you will, you write these down, mark them, look at them, read them. Check them out in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, very familiar verse of Scripture. Paul the Apostle, right under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Beloved, our brethren go on, and we owe a great debt. I mean, it's not the missionary's debt, it's all of our debts. I mean, that back yonder, several years back there, about 18 years ago, as a precious woman, I wouldn't know her if she walked in this building. But I've got a debt I owe to that woman. She took time to come by my hospital bed. And there I lay in that hospital bed. And she got down there and she began to talk to me about Jesus. And boy, I mean, she spent 3 days on that thing. I mean, she had me in hell, preacher. The third day, she showed me the fire escape, amen. And told me how I could get out of that mess. And then I've been shouting the victory ever since. And someday, I'll see that woman, and brother, I'll put a heart around her neck, amen, while she's in heaven. She wouldn't know me if she saw me. And I laid there and I was deaf in one ear totally, going deaf in the other ear. Man, I'd heard the gospel about 3 years before that old fundamental Baptist preacher liked to skip me alive and scare me to death. And I'd never been back, but I was laying there. Oh, that woman, she'd get right down by my good ear and she'd almost holler to me, sound like a whisper. And man, I bowed my head that day. And I said, Lord, if you could save somebody like me, would you do it? I wasn't doubting this power now. I already knew he could do it. But I couldn't see the reason why I should. Why should God save something like me? But I said, Lord, if you would you do it? And I want you to know that God saved my soul that day. And brother, it ain't never been since. It ain't never been the same since. And it gets gooder and gooder all the time, amen. And old Uncle Bud used to say, no one ain't going to turn the color, amen. I mean, it's great, and we're going to heaven, amen. But I owe a debt. Oh, a debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself. I laid in that hospital bed, and I was back before I ran into Brother Walsh. You know, I could use some of that then, but you know, I was laying there, and she'd come and she'd read to me, and I was scheduled for an operation, and she read to me over there, and Joan said, oh, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, amen. I didn't have no theology. I didn't know what theology, duology was. I didn't know none of that stuff. I could have found John 3:16 if my life depended on it. I'd have had to have 2 Philadelphia Royal Street concordances and a dictionary to find anything. But when she read that, man, you know, it spoke to my soul, and I said, Lord, I sure would like to have these old ears fixed up. I said, I don't want to have that operation. And I just said, Lord, would you heal me? I turned over and went to sleep that night. Next morning, I woke up and I heard the birds outside the window. Amen. In 5 years, and I didn't know what it was. And I heard the lady pushing that little cart, you know, the nurse, and got all them little things, and I heard something. I hadn't heard that before, and I didn't know what it was. And she was pushing a little gurney down the hallway with all them little thermometers on there, and I heard that jingle, and I said, I couldn't understand what was happening at first. And I said, well, what is that? And I sat up in that bed, and I heard over there, there's a nurse talking, just kind of whispering, and I heard her, and man, I didn't know about having a Baptist fit, but I was having a fit, man. I'd come out of that bed, and boy, they thought something was wrong. They come running in there, you know, and I said, I can hear, and boy, they got around me, and they called some fellas in there, and called my mother up, you know, and boy, they're trying to figure this thing out. I said, I can tell you how it did it. I can tell you, you know, they trying to shut me up. I mean, I thought it would work, amen. I'm in the big healing business, bro. I said, I'll tell you how to get all these fellas out of here, amen. Glory to God. Well, Roberts wasn't in on it either, amen. Had a direct line to heaven. Man, I got 20/20 hearing, or whatever. I don't know what you call a hearing part, but man, I got it. I got this ear cut off one time when I was in the service, and man, God just still got 20/20 hearing, amen. I mean, brother, when God does it, it's done, amen. You know, got to go down to Nashville to check the thing out, amen. We had a fellow playing, his old faith healers come through, you know what? Well, I'm believing divine healing, but them divine healers are crooks. I never met one who wasn't. And this lady, she supposedly got healed, and what they done, they pumped her full of drugs, and she couldn't feel the old cancer eating at her. She'd jumping up and hollering and everything, and I told one of my members, he said, brother, I saw it. I said, brother, go down to her house in the morning and saw some more. Yeah. And so he went down there, and here they come with a stretcher, and they're carrying around. And that old Indian friend of mine, he said, oh, why ain't she up jumping around? I said, well, you know, so he said, where are you taking her? Well, we're taking her to the hospital. Well, why are you taking her to the hospital? We thought you got healed. Well, we're just going to go and verify you the healing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, they really verified it in the ground. Put it right down in the ground. But oh, we have a debt. We have a debt. Let's not let them black folk over in Africa die without paying that debt. Let's not let those Irish folk over there killing each other die without paying that debt. Let's not let those people over in Mexico die without paying that debt. Let's pay that debt. I close with this. Oh, when I think of all the many millions that do not know the sound of thy sweet voice, that do not know that Jesus died to save them,
whom never can thy great salvation claim. Then cries my heart, O Savior God, to thee. O Lord, send me. O Lord, send me. Then cries my heart, my Savior God, to thee. O Lord, send me. O Lord, send me.
Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, this morning, thank you for the attention. God, I've learned to love these folk. Somebody sacrificed for me to keep me up there in Alaska. And now they've taken on new responsibilities, new realms, and new frontiers of faith. And oh Lord, the missionary, they're gonna go and they're gonna experience some things. They're headed out for new realms and for new frontiers of faith and experience. But Lord, so are these folk. So are those that hold the rope. They're headed for new realms, higher planes, new frontiers. Now, Father, we've talked about the fact that men sit in darkness. Could be there's some here this morning sitting in darkness. We've talked about the fact that men and women, boys and girls are doomed and dying. We know that to be a fact. And Lord, we know that we have a great debt. And Jesus Christ died that men might live. Well, don't let anybody walk out of the service this morning without Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. And I pray, Lord, for every church member, the member of this church and the visitors, those that are serving you, doing what they can do. And Father, I know we could all do better. But God, I pray your richest blessings upon those that are doing what they know to be right. Speak to hearts, I pray. Now while our heads are bowed, we ask our sister if she'd come to the piano. While our heads are bowed, I want to ask you a very quick question now. Anyone here say, preacher, I'm here this morning, I'm not saved, but I want you to pray for me. Would you let me pray for you? Would you let this preacher pray for you? So, Brother Jim, sometimes, you know, you holler and scream, and I do. And watch this, sometimes I do, I get worked up, and sometimes I get flat mad at the devil sometimes. I trust I've never gotten mad at any of God's people or any individual. But you say, preacher, sometimes maybe you say, preacher, I don't know if you'd even pray. But listen, I love you, friend, and I'll pray for you. Let me pray for you. Would you let me do that? So, preacher, I don't know where I'm going when I die. Pray for me. Anyone at all like that? Visitor, man, woman, boy, girl, member of this church, anyone say, preacher, pray for me. I'm here this morning. Don't know where I'm going when I die. I want you to pray for me. All right, Christian. Listen, boy, ain't this been good? I mean, it's been good. What about that debt? Thank you, son. I see your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. Thank you. I see that one. I'm just being general. You got a sin in your life? Amen. But want me to pray? I'll pray. I'm just being general, though. Say, preacher, God spoke to me. Want you to pray for me. Thank you, honey. I see that one. Anyone else? Say, pray for me this morning. Listen, some of y'all, if you've been a member of this church and you haven't been here all week and you haven't been providentially hindered, I'll tell you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You'll be ashamed of yourself. I mean, you've missed some things. I'm not because Brother Jim was here. I mean, brother, you've missed some things in this conference. And these missionaries will bear me out. I mean, brother, I haven't been in many missionary conferences like this. You've missed something. You ought to be up here at this altar. Anyone else? Say, preacher, now pray for me. Thank you, sir. God bless you, my brother. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. My Father, you've seen the hearts of these. We'll assume all your people. Lord, we thank you for their honesty. And we thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we've felt all week long. God, I pray for them now. Lord, if there is a lost man, woman, boy, or girl here, don't let them leave. Oh, God, don't let them leave until they come. And let the pastor, let somebody else take a Bible and show them all they have to do to receive Christ Jesus. God, let us show them what the book says. Now, Father, have your will and your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. What number, brother? 291. Page 291. Turn there in your songbook. God spoke to your heart. Don't even pick up a songbook. You just stand, get ready to come. Matter of fact, you come right now. While we start on the first verse, go right ahead, my brother. Jesus.